Wow, what an awesome statement. Psalm 16 in verse 11 says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." Do you realize that in God's presence, as it says, that there are pleasures forevermore? What awesome promises that God has for us. We also understand, and we also need to come to realize, that it is God who is the being who created us, and He also is the one who created our ability to experience pleasures. That was God. We will have eternal pleasure with God then. And we can also experience many of God's gifts of pleasure today, because we understand that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. That is what He says. Now, with that, would you turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 117. Psalm 117. Begin reading at verse 1. "Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud Him, all peoples. For His loving kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord." Yes, He has great merciful kindness toward us. John 3:16 shows us that God gave His one-of-a-kind Son. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What an awesome promise that is. So with that in mind, let me ask you a question. What do you think God possibly would hold back from us? After all, the greatest gifts God could possibly give have been granted freely to us, and He did it while we were yet sinners. God is the giver of all that is good, and only that which is good. There is not even the slightest shadow of darkness or evil or wickedness or anything that is contrary to good associated with God. He is good and only good. Now go with me, if you would, to the book of James, and we will see this. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 17. James 1 verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God can be counted on. God can be trusted, and that is without the slightest hesitation on His part. This is an awesome God, and this awesome, incredible being has given us promises for the future and also for now today. We have been learning about God, and we're going to continue to do so. We all want to know more about God, the more and the more that He will reveal to us of Himself. And I think all of us would certainly agree with that, that that's what we want. Because what you see is, once we know more about this incredible God, once we know more about the characteristics of God, more about how He operates, the more we will desire to be close to Him. We will desire a close personal relationship with Him. And as we have a close personal relationship with God, He makes some fantastic promises to all of us. So let's continue to investigate and see some of these wonderful promises from God our Father. And in the doing, as we look at some of these promises, what we are seeing are incredible characteristics about God. Things that we also want to become like. We want to become like God, like our Father. Well, let's start, if you would. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. In Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Those are characteristics of God. It's stating it from a negative point of view. Blessed is the man who doesn't do these things. Well, what he is showing is these are opposite characteristics of God. So we want to be how he is. We don't want to be walking in the counsel of the wicked because God isn't there. That's one of the promises that he gives. If we're following him, that is not going to happen. He is not there. We do not want to be there. Let's continue on. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Now, what we can see from this is God intends that we are successful and we are prosperous in his way. I think too many times people look at these verses and they say, oh, if we do what God wants to do, then we're going to be wealthy. We're going to be rich. Perhaps so. Perhaps so. But what this verse is saying is we will be successful and prosperous in his way and doing the things that are like God, the characteristics of God, the things that please him. He is a God of profit. It is God's will that we produce fruit for his glory. You ever thought about that? As we do things that are profitable, do things that are right and good in the sight of God, that God is glorified through that? God is glorified when we live a righteous life, as we allow Jesus Christ to live his life in us, and we freely go in the direction that he would lead us through the Holy Spirit, that we'll be doing what it is that God wants us to do as we live that way of life. God is glorified. And to ensure that it happens that way, God will give us what we need to be able to do that. Not going to turn there, but in Psalm 3, verses 3 through 6, it shows us that God is our shield and he gives us many different kinds of comforts. There are a couple of other psalms that you can see as well. In Psalm 4, verses 7 and 8, and in Psalm 5, verse 12, you can see it's basically the same wording. But what we see is God gave himself the job of being our shield, and he gave himself the job of the giver of comforts. God did not have to be coerced to do this. He did not have to be begged into doing this. God offers promises, all of them, to us with full intention of giving them unto us. God's promises are all his idea anyway. They're his promises. And it's his idea, and he's going to give them. We saw earlier, back in Psalm 117 in verse 2, where it shows God's great merciful kindness toward us. Then in Psalm chapter 4 and verse 3, we're told God hears us when we call. You ever think about that as being a pleasure, of that being a blessing, of that being a promise from God? Then we cry out to him. When we pray to him, he hears us. That's what he says. What a great blessing I think it is to be able to know that God is interested in us and he is listening intently to our prayers. That's what he says. That's what he has promised us. I want you to stop for a moment and I want you to let this awesome promise sink in. Jesus gave us this promise just prior to his crucifixion. I want you to go with me to John 15. We have so much information of these promises from God to us that sometimes I'm just simply going from one promise right to the next. In John 15 and verse 7, Jesus Christ speaking, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." What a promise. We can go to God and we can ask, and his promise is that he will give to us. In Psalm 17, verses 7 and 8, we are told that we are the apple of God's eye. We're the one that he has pleasure in. We're the one that he looks to. We're the one that he, like a little child, you know, the firstborn son or a firstborn daughter or whatever, you know, born to this couple, and they walk around and they move, and the parents are right there to make sure they don't fall or they don't hit things as they do fall, because we all did and we all still do. And God, as our loving Father, is still there and looking at it. We are the apple of his eye. That's what he tells us. We are so special to God. He even promises us that he rejoices over us. Isaiah 62. Go with me there. In Isaiah 62 and verse 5. "As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you." Did you ever just stop and meditate that God rejoices over you? He does. That's what it says. He either does it or he doesn't. And if he doesn't, he's a liar. Because that's what his word tells us. And we know God is not a man and he cannot lie. He rejoices over us as his people. Then in Psalm 18 in verse 35, it tells us that his gentleness makes us great. God is tender and God is gentle, and he leads us with kindness as a loving shepherd. And we also should know that the Bible is full of the great shepherd metaphor. There are in many, many, many different passages, and you can see that and you can study that. Let's go on and see another one of these promises of God. In Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, beginning in verse 9. "O fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing." What we see is God can supply and God will supply all of our needs. This is also repeated in various passages in the Scriptures, even in the New Testament. This is not just an Old Testament promise that God has offered to us. We also find it in the New Testament. Go with me, and I want to show you over in the book of Philippians. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. In Philippians 4, and verse 19. Philippians 4, and verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." All of our wants, all of our needs are going to be taken care of. That's what he says. And it's not just, as I said, Old Testament. This is also New Testament. This is what we are taught. This is what we understand. All means all. Sometimes there are passages and wording in Scriptures that the word that is used doesn't necessarily mean exactly what we think it means, or it means something else by the time it was written and now interpreted and now translated and all of those things. In this particular case, all means all. There is nothing God cannot do. God is our provider. He is the great El Shaddai. The El Shaddai, the sense is that of being like a nursing mother. Nurtures us, takes care of us, gives to us whatever the needs are. That's the sense of the El Shaddai. And that's who he is. And then in Psalms 36 and verse 9, we see that with him is the fountain of life. I want you to go there. Psalm 36. Psalm 36 and verse 9. For with you is the fountain of life. In you light shall we see light. This fountain of life here, this is a beautiful metaphor for God's gushing, God's flowing, God's ongoing blessings that he gives toward us. It's how generous he is, how great he is, a fountain of life. And then in Psalm 37 in verse 4, we read that God gives us the desires of our heart. 37 in verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. The key to accessing this blessing is to delight ourselves in God. God wants to give us the desires of our heart. That's his desire, is to give us the desires of our heart. And he will do that as we delight in him. Let's continue on in looking at further the promises of God. Go with me, if you would, to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. In Psalm 63, in verse 5, Psalm 63 in verse 5, my soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. Go with me to Psalm 65 in verse 4. Psalm 65 in verse 4. How blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house. This your here is God, your holy temple. We will be satisfied because God is bringing us there, and we will be satisfied with goodness. This is not for harm. This is not for evil. This is not for anything that is not wonderful and great and awesome. And that's what he does. He brings us to that place. He will bring near to you, you there is God, to dwell in your is God's courts. It's in the house of God, the church of God. Psalm 84. Verse 9. Behold, our God, our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. In verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now, do we have an attitude of being in the presence of God, being in the house of God, being in his temple, being there in the body of Jesus Christ? And do we think this is an exclusive thing that is just us? It's just you and me, God. It's just you and me. We're here and we don't care if others are here. No, that's not our approach. That's not God's approach. What a blessing to be able to understand that. What a blessing to be able to know that. And it says that the Lord gives grace and glory, and no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Is that our characteristic? Is this something to how we want to be like God, like our Father? that he is so generous in this way in giving to others the truth, the knowledge, and the understanding of God. I pray so. I pray so that that's what we want. We're told in Psalms 116 in verse 7 that God deals with us bountifully. Bountifully. And you can read these passages and you can see this. And then over in the book of Psalms, chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, it speaks about physical blessings. It's talking about barns and various things that he's going to give. Are there going to be physical blessings here and now? Not just the knowledge in God and not just the way of life of God, but also going to be physical things as well? Absolutely. Absolutely. Those are other of the promises of God that he gives to us. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 23 through 26, this passage tells us that blessings come by having wisdom, which we get from God through a close relationship with him. Now, we can go to James and we can see, and it says, if a man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. There has to be this close relationship for him to give wisdom. But he does. For those who are working on a close relationship with God, he is going to give wisdom. What is wisdom? You've got knowledge. As facts, that's information. Then you have understanding. Oh, we begin to comprehend what this knowledge that we've obtained means. Wisdom is then being able to take this knowledge and this understanding and apply it in our lives and living it. That's wisdom. And he gives it to us. How to live it as a way of life. We start living what we learn. I want you to turn with me to Psalms 127. Here's one of these other promises that he gives to us that I think we all too often actually take for granted. I don't want to focus too much on it, but I do want us to think about it and to recognize where this comes from. Psalm 127. Verse 1, except the Lord build the house, he labors in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. Verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so God gives his beloved sleep. God gives us our sleep. This particular psalm about sleep is an example of how God is concerned with our every daily need. He designed our bodies to be able to have sleep, to recycle itself. I mean, I'm not using technical terms, I'm just putting in layman's words. But our mind, our body recycles itself. It's like a reset. It's what it's intended to be. God gave that to us. But it is an example of how he is concerned for our every daily need. He gives us the food with its taste, with its textures, with its colors, and all the other delicious variations that we have in food. What if everything was brown, or just green, or blah, and there was no taste? But he designed our bodies that we have to have food, and so here it is, and there's nothing else to it. It's just there. How much would you want to eat? But he even gives us pleasure in the food that we consume. And it is all about showing God's concern for our daily needs. Food and the taste and the textures and the colors and the smells and all of those things are showing us an example of how awesome this God being is. Do we think about that? Or do we get too wrapped up in the food itself to actually think about and praise God for it, for how great he is, how awesome he is? He gives us the air we breathe. He gives us the water and all of the daily, typical things that we tend to take for granted. God is also the one that gives us the peace in which to enjoy these blessings. How much do we think about these things? They're just simple tasks, simple things that are done every day. But how much do we focus on God at those times? How awesome He is, how wonderful He is. In Psalm 37 and verse 34, we are told that we will be exalted to inherit the land. Another promise. Another promise. And there are more and more promises. I want to kind of shift gears. And I want us to think about and understand those who belong to God, those who are covered by His name, those who abide in Him, and those who delight in Him will not be left in lower positions. God's intent is to make His children into leaders. It is His intent. They, His children, those who delight in God, will be exalted to a vast inheritance. And it all comes from God. Psalm 41, verse 11, proves that God favors us because our enemies do not triumph over us. I want you to see that. Go with me to Psalm 41. Psalm 41 and verse 11 proves that God favors us. Psalm 41 and verse 11, it says, "By this I know that you are pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me." It doesn't say anything about trials and problems and all of those kinds of things and difficulties we have. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about not being completely overtaken by the enemy. Do we think the enemy could? Of course he could. Why doesn't he? Because we have favor with God. And God says, no. No. Let me ask you this question. What glory would it be to God if He let the enemy wipe us out? Simple question, isn't it? God has allowed us to have enemies for working out His own special purposes in our lives. Of course, probably none of us like having enemies. We may not like fighting battles, but also we comprehend this part is in the will of God. And He uses it. What we can be sure of is that God is sovereign. He rules, totally, completely in charge. He is the sovereign God. What He says goes. What He says is going to happen, happens. God gives victory to those who trust in Him, even included delivering us out of all of our trials. Actually, what the verse says is, it says, many of the afflicted are the righteous, but the Eternal delivers them out of them all. The New Testament, same principle there is, He gives us a way to bear up under it, to go through it. That's the way He designed it. And He designed it that way for our good. Yeah, we don't like it and we think it's for our bad, but at the time whenever we think it is bad, this is great. Because God says, hey, I'm with you. Remember the poem we talked about? One night I had a dream of footprints. And the guy says, why, when I was having the worst time of my life, I only saw 1 foot of footprints? And he said, what are you talking about? That's the times I was carrying you. And that's what He does. He gives us the way to bear up under it, to go through it, to endure through it, because he's working out something in our lives, but he does not allow the enemy to triumph over us. Thank you, God. Another thing that we see is that Jesus told us in the outline prayer, as we sometimes recall it, that for us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And sometimes we've interpreted that, but deliver us from the evil one. I think it actually means from evil. And part of that is the evil one, because I think there's a lot more to that topic, and we may need to address that at some point. But brethren, do we realize this deliverance from temptation and evil is what God wants to give to us? He wants to deliver us. He wants to give us deliverance from these temptations and from the evil. That's his desire. And so he works it out. Jesus also said for us to be of good cheer, for he had already overcome the world, which is another huge enemy that we come up against. But what we need to recognize is there is no enemy too big for God, or too mean for God, or too tricky for God. He is the Almighty. He is the sovereign God. Okay, go back with me now to the book of Psalms. We're to continue on here. In Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Let's begin in verse 1. Psalm 121 and verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps your will shall not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Psalm 128. Let's continue on and say something else about this incredible, wonderful God. Psalm 128, verse 1. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Those are promises. I want you to go with me to what is often referred to as the blessing and cursing chapter. Should you go back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beast. the increased of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies to rise up against you, to be defeated before you. Ever thought about that? The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your beast, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you only will be above, and you will not be underneath, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today to observe them carefully. These blessings, and more often the curses that are found in this chapter, are too often emphasized. They are there, but I'm talking about the blessings. And the reason that so many times we have emphasized the cursings is because humans are hard-headed, and all too often we're just simply faithless. So too often we focus on the negatives here as opposed to the positives. However, there are great, wonderful, fantastic blessings, promises that are found here, these verses that we just read. How much do you focus on the promises, the blessings that God has promised us? And like I said, out of a list that you can compile, I've probably looked at very quickly, just simply reading them, not really focusing on any one of them on an individual basis. And I've probably focused on today in a limited amount, maybe a third of them. But I just wanted to show you some of the characteristics of this loving God that we want to be like, that we want to be like he is. And these are things that focus on the wonderful attributes, the characteristics of this great God and our Father. But you know, once we know more about God and we really do want to be like him, and then we start having this proper relationship with him, then we will want to be able to fellowship with him even more often. So how do we obtain fellowship with God? Well, God willing, this is what we will see in an upcoming sermon.